Season 2 of Love in Context podcast welcomes you. Get ready for engaging, unscripted conversations with your hosts, Ben and Spencer. Our mission remains unchanged: to explore the Bible through the powerful lens of love.
In this new season, we'll embark on a journey together, unearthing fresh insights and gaining deeper understanding of how we can love God and live out our faith in practical ways.
So let's dive into this season of Love in Context, where love and the context of the Bible intersect to transform our lives.
Welcome to a random inserted episode because everybody in the world got sick around us.
It's so true.
Ben, of Love in Context.
Ben and his two kids are sick. My wife, my daughter are sick.
I'm not sick. My wife is sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your wife and your two kids are sick. My wife and daughter are sick.
My assistant at work is sick.
Yeah.
I think her kids are sick. Yeah. So there is a bug going through. But not to worry, podcast family, we are not sick.
Not yet.
Not yet, anyways. Yeah. So we're going to do a little bit of a different episode.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of resources, mm-hmm. and so I want to go through and I want to just talk about some of our main resources that we use on a regular basis,
yeah.
and why they're beneficial for people, and then just kind of have a conversation about a few of them. Mm-hmm. So that's what this episode is going to be. It's probably not going to be as long. We will be returning next week, and it will not be Kyle Quinn because of a scheduling conflict. Mm-hmm. It will actually be your wife is going to come and mm-hmm. talk about the spiritual gift of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we'll be finishing out that series with Pastor Sarah after that 1 week, talking about
it's gonna be great.
Healing ministry and what does healing and deliverance look like.
It's going to be great.
So I want to start with probably somebody we've referenced, it feels like 1,000 times at this point, right? That's BEMADiscipleship.com, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
.org? .com. I think it's .com. BEMA Discipleship. So that is mm-hmm. the BEMA podcast with Marty Solomon.
Yes.
So I have known Marty for a lot of years. He and I actually were at the same church, though not at the same time. I left a church when I was in college, and he came in at the same time. Mm-hmm. So people were like, "Oh, you didn't know each other?" Well, yeah, we missed each other by like 4 months and met like 5 years later.
Yeah.
But Marty is, first of all, a really good man. Loves the Lord. Is passionate about the text. He's passionate about people wrestling with the text, passionate about people diving in and learning more. He definitely engages the Bible from an intellectual perspective.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing. So how is the BEMA podcast really helpful for you? Everything that they're going to talk about from the BEMA podcast is trying to understand the Bible from the Jewish perspective. Mm-hmm. Right? Understanding that we, of course, are Westerners, and we're going to understand it from the Western perspective. Mm-hmm. They say, how do we make sure that we understand that this Bible was written by, written to, and written for Jeez. Eastern listeners?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you'll understand, of course, like when we went through Torah series, why we reference them a lot of times, because placing the text in context matters.
Absolutely.
And so their podcast is different than ours, because ours is, you know, of course, conversationally mm-hmm. based. And it's meant to really understand, like, yes, in context, but how do we live that out today?
Yes. Theirs is much more informational.
It's much more informational.
And much more academic.
Which, by the way, if you've been listening and you're like, man, I love this podcast, but I wish I had something that was more informational, that's a great podcast mm-hmm. for you, and we can't recommend them enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we think that having real conversations is really important, but their conversations are really good there, too.
Yeah.
They're just more intellectual and more about the text itself.
Yeah. The first time I listened to BEMA, it was like, it was one of those things where I was like, this is so good and that I went back and re-listened.
Right.
Right. And I didn't, and like, I'm not typically one to do that. I'm like one and done. I listened to it like, all right, did it. It's done off my list. But that one, I was like, okay, we're going to go back. We're going to listen to that episode again because Marty impacts some really, really cool things throughout his podcast.
Yeah. And I highly recommend there's the first 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. They call them their capstone. They may be sessions. I can't remember if they call them sessions or seasons. Yeah. The first 5 seasons are meant to be taken as their core, for lack of a better word, curriculum.
Yeah.
And I strongly encourage you, everything in the later seasons is built on the previous seasons. Mm-hmm. So don't just find a topic you want and jump there, because you're going to miss the greater context that they're setting up. Start in episode 1, or actually episode 0, mm-hmm. and go all the way. And then when you actually get to season 4 and you get to the revelation, you're going to have some fun. There's a guy in our church. His name is Leif, and I'm putting him on the podcast right now. He would love the revelation portion,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't get to run there. Leif, you have to listen to the whole thing, the whole thing to get there.
You know he's just going to run there.
oh, he's just going to run there. He's 100% going to run there.
He's going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, yes, yes, I am.
Leif is, I love Leif. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a good man. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that is, that's going to be my number one go-to source. Marty is, he'll tell you, he is not the most knowledgeable. He is a connector of resources. Mm-hmm. And so he's a lot of times pulling a lot of resources together for you to be able to disseminate,
yeah,
right? Once again, with all the resources that we give you today, there's a phrase that is said, you got to be able to eat the meat and spit out the bones, mm-hmm, which means that every single person we recommend, there's probably going to be something you disagree with them on.
Yeah.
Including us.
I have yet to read an author or listen to a speaker and 100% agree on what they say.
Well, we were having a fire last week, and you and I were just talking about some things we just disagree on. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
We just figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. With all these resources, is like, if you disagree with them, cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't listen. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. One of the resources I actually use a lot is just the YouVersion Bible app.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, it allows you to look at lots of translations really quickly.
Yes.
So I usually read out a New Living Translation.
Right. And YouVersion Bible app is available on Android and iPhone for free.
For free.
Yep.
And they have, and so like if I read something that I'm like, oh, in the New Living, I'm like, that was weird. Worded kind of weird, and I want to see what other translations say, I can jump over to NIV, ESV, whatever, and see how they're wording it too. Mm-hmm. Do really quick side-by-side translation comparisons, which really has helped me dive deeper into the text.
Right.
Right. I think that as you start reading the text more and more, the more translations you can actually engage with, the more you can actually start to see a full picture of the intent behind the writing.
And right? I think a good app to couple with the mm-hmm. YouVersion app is going to be the Blue Letter Bible app.
Yep. I use that all the time too.
Blue Letter Bible app is, we've referenced it a number of times here. It helps you get to the root words of the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a fantastic app.
Yeah. What it will not do is it won't give you the exact word that's used.
Correct. It's going to give you roots on the words that are being used.
So there might be a portion of scripture where it'll give you the root of a word, but that won't be the exact word.
Yeah, I mean, it's not dissimilar from like English when if you were to get to the root of each word that we're actually using, it's technically not how it's said, but all the roots of what we were said is in the sentence.
Yes.
So you just need to be aware of that, and so you actually just have to compile it as you're putting the words together. But when you start getting into different translations, and you're like, I wonder why they translated it this way. Well, go to Blue Letter Bible, take a look mm-hmm. at the root, and you're able to use that.
Yeah, and the other thing the Bible app has done, this is just a shameless plug, we're not sponsored by them in any way,
it's shape, correct. Or form. But yet.
The other thing that they have done is they actually created a kids app.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which my daughter plays with all the time, and it goes through the Bible stories, it's interactive, it's like a full-on Bible game kids app
that they've
created.
That's awesome.
And it's fantastic.
If there is one way to get kids more excited about things, it's to make it into a game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I always like, it's like when my son is like, he's like, has to pick up the living room, and I'm like, well, I'm going to get to it before you. And he's like, I'm going to go, you know, he starts running and picking things up. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, you win.
I was like, you got to it before me. I'm so slow. So,
yeah.
Let's keep on the Bible, like mm-hmm. actually studying the text apps, things that I really like. There's another app that I really enjoy, and I don't think you have it. It's called Dwell. Mm-hmm. But it is a way of listening to the Bible, and they have a bunch of different narrators. They have a lot of different translations, and you can also get yourself a number of different reading plans.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are huge on our podcast is knowing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's meditating, reading, listening, dwelling in the Word of God, so that when God speaks, you actually have a barometer to actually compare it to.
Yeah.
Right.
I've used Dwell in the past. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing against them. I just.
Somebody decided to text me, so I'm going to leave that in mm-hmm. just so that they know.
I've used Dwell in the past, and I think it's a great app.
Yeah. They're not terrible. I think you can actually get a lifelong subscription, mm-hmm. and it supports them, and you just get the updates. But it's a good way. But if you are looking for something that is on the free side, you can actually have YouVersion read to you as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's actually a good way to do that as well. In addition, this is, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but your local libraries have, you can get onto what's called Libby.
Yep.
It's an online listening, and most of them have some version of the Bible on there that you can listen to as well. Mm-hmm. So if you are like, I want to listen to the Bible, but I don't have the resources to pay for it, these are really good alternatives.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things I find that I'm doing more and more is just listening to the text. Yeah. Like, I try to get 10,000 to 12,000 steps in a day,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time when I'm doing that,
most of it's in his hip hop jazz class.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. it's my hip hop Zumba class, actually.
Hip hop class. We're getting older, so
it's where your hips pop out, and they have chiropractors on standby to pop them back in.
Exactly.
So I'll just listen.
Yeah.
I try to get 10 to 12,000 steps in a day, and that's a great time just to have headphones in and just listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's great. Listening to the text, and a lot of these, you got to remember that prior to the printing press, a lot of these texts would have been written text, right? And so even like we've talked about in the Hebrew, you would catch a lot of things when they're being spoken in Hebrew, like connecting ideas, especially throughout Torah. Because you are used to hearing it and you're like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. I've heard that before. That particular set of Hebrew words, I've heard that particular set.
Yeah.
And one of the ways I like to talk about this, and this is starting to be a dated reference, right? But it's when you can hear words and know that they're actually referencing something else. Yeah. It's like if I said, no, I am your father.
Mm-hmm.
You immediately know that I'm quoting Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because of the way that I said it. Mm-hmm. Or if I had like a vocal, modulator or something like that. There are things that we can, something else that they know. That's what's, just so you know, that's a lot of what we call idioms or cultural context, like understanding like what did this actually mean to them.
Yeah.
In fact, there's actually a really fun one in talking about the Herods and when Herod the Great passes away and he gives his estate to three of his kids. One of the Herods goes to see Caesar to petition for, you know, whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And like he leaves his people in charge, but they don't want him to be in charge. So they send a delegation to Caesar that's like, hey, we don't want him. Please don't let him be our king.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that sounds familiar, it's because Jesus tells a story about this king that gives a bunch of people minas, right? And they didn't like the king, and so they sent a delegation to tell the person who was in charge that they don't like this king and they don't want him to rule over them. Yeah. Turns out that Jesus actually knew what was happening in modern culture, and he was taking a shot at something that was actually happening in popular culture, right?
Yeah.
So context matters.
Mm-hmm. Another resource that I use a lot, and I think you do as well, is Bible Project.
Bible Project, Tim Mackey. Yeah.
Tim Mackey. Does a great job. A lot of their videos are just summaries, mm-hmm. are just really great if you're just trying to wrap your head around like, okay, what's the book of Ephesians about? What's the context behind it? I'm picking on Ephesians for some reason. I don't know.
It's a good book to pick on.
But they'll have these little shorts on YouTube. I think it's on their website too. But
yeah, so you can either check their YouTube site out, or you can go to BibleProject.com or .org. It's .com or .org. And you can actually access all of their material.
Yeah, and they just do a fantastic job explaining those things.
Yeah, there is the way you use Bible Project, there's a few different ways that I think are super valuable. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the series is called Read Scripture.
Yeah,
and they'll go through and they'll actually draw out what the overarching view of each book is in like 7 to 8 minute videos.
Yeah.
That is one way of really like getting an understanding of a book before you go in and read it,
mm-hmm.
right? So by the way, you may be hearing, you're like, oh, I should use a lot of these things in conjunction with each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, really helpful.
Absolutely.
They also have like word studies where they talk about specific Hebrew words that show up or Greek words that show up repeatedly throughout scripture. And they have a video about that, like an 8 or 9 minute video. If you are someone who tends to be a little more philosophical in nature, that's what I'm going to go with. Check out their podcast because a lot of the content that they don't put in their videos, they talk about on the podcast. And they get a lot more into like the wondering theologian, philosophy of scripture.
So
right?
their podcast is really heavy.
Yeah, it's really heavy.
And a lot of times they don't draw down to a specific conclusion.
Correct.
So there's a lot of, it's really heavy and it's full of wonder.
Yeah. So just know that going in. Now, it's incredibly valuable, mm-hmm. but you have to know that about the podcast when you listen to it, because they're not going to necessarily resolve things for you. They'll say something, and then they might not come back to it.
Yeah, I was listening to, they did a few episodes on Noah. I was listening to those a little while back. And there was a number of spots where I was like, you did not conclude this. You did not conclude this.
Yeah.
Or like draw a conclusion from that. You just spoke what it was and moved on.
Yeah.
And so they tend to do that.
Yeah. It is, like, for me, it's a lot of fun. I've had other people who listen to it and they're like, I get really lost. Mm-hmm. So whoever you are, that might be a great place for you.
Yeah.
And then if you're somebody who gets lost in the wonder conversation, just stick to the videos. They're pretty direct and they resolve themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they have a little bit of everything for everyone. In fact, they actually have free classes on scriptural context mm-hmm. that Tim Mackey does, and he teaches with an entire class where he actually goes through and talks about a bunch of different things. The intro to Genesis is really good.
Really good.
It's I think it's like 42 lessons.
It's a lot.
Yeah, they're all like 18 minutes, but they're really good. So I don't think we can recommend those enough. So here's the thing. Don't try to do everything we're saying, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and we should also preface that we've used these resources over time.
Yes.
Like we did not go watch 40-plus 18-minute videos in one sitting.
I mean, I did at 2.5 times speed, yeah. And we always joke about that because I listen at Audible at 2.5 times speed. Mm-hmm. Yes, Spencer's mom, I do listen that quickly. I heard the thing of that apparently nobody can listen at that speed. Mm-hmm. But I think you also misled her. You said 3 times.
I did say 3
yeah,
times.
So it's only 2.5.
I went and listened at 2.5. I was like, okay, I can get the rough idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
It was a little fast for me, but.
Yeah. So, by the way, if your brain does not think really quickly, do not listen to 2.5. It's more important that you get the content. It's not a race. For me, that is an enjoyable pace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
For the longest time, I did not realize I hated audiobooks because I did not realize I could speed it up.
Oh, yeah. So you listen to it 1x speed
and
always.
It was just like, But then I realized, I was like, oh, I can speed it up to like 1.5 or 2.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is great.
This is much better.
This is much better.
Speaking of speeding up books, there's a guy we've referenced a number of times by the name of John Mark Comer, because he's also in Portland with Tim Mackey.
Well, he's in California now.
Oh, he's in California
now?
He's
in LA now.
Okay.
I think.
He was in Portland for a very long time doing ministry. John Mark Comer, we've referenced a lot of his books. He has a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I'm going to throw a couple of his book titles out because mm-hmm. Ruthless Elimination of Hurry talks about living an unhurried life. In other words, opening your life up for the wonder of God.
Yeah.
He's got Secret Garden, which talks about what does it mean to have a sacred vocation, mm-hmm. Regardless of what it is. Man, it's such a good book.
Yeah, my wife's reading it right now, and she's like, I had to go back and, like, she's listening to it, but she's like, I had to go back and re-listen to chapters.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I actually think that a lot of churches could really benefit by just preaching his content through that book.
Yeah.
He has Live No Lies, which just talks about winning the war of your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to believe in the truth, or are you going to live the lie of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The most recent, Practicing
the Way.
Practicing the Way, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can't recommend that book enough. I give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
There is nothing, for our purposes of conversation and Bema and all the different places that we referenced, there wasn't anything mm-hmm. new for me, but he packaged it so well.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's also, I don't know who put it on, but somebody puts on the John Mark Comer teaching podcast where they just compile a bunch of his sermons.
Yeah.
And that you can find that on Apple or Spotify.
Yeah,
John, I listen to that a lot.
John Mark Comer, one of my favorite things about him is he's incredibly humble about all of it, because he is a very hot commodity right now as far as speakers.
Yeah.
And he's just incredibly humble in how he handles everything, and I just really appreciate that about him.
I got to listen to him speak back in January, and then he cracked a joke about how we're all just, he was like, yeah, you're all just a bunch of hippies with your hats on and your coffees thinking that you're actually doing good. And I'm sitting there with my hat on and my coffee in my hand. My wife looks over at me and just starts dying.
Oh yeah. He called you out for
like,
sure.
100%. Like, I'm sure he wasn't looking at me, but I was like 100% called me out.
Oh, you got called out.
It was great.
That is pretty great.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is good for all of our listeners on the podcast, because we have everyone from Pentecostal to Reformed mm-hmm. listeners, right? Is John Mark Comer is going to be kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
He's going to be open to the movement of the Spirit, but he's also going to be really heavy invested intellectually. And for both of you that are on the outside spectrums, mm-hmm. he's good for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
because he's going to help you consider some things that you may not be thinking about, and open your life to some things that God wants to do inside in your life, right? And that's the big thing, is I think a lot of times with study and the things that we do, we tend to do what we've done over and over again, and a lot of times God wants to open us to other avenues of growth.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think about, like, my son and your daughter, too, is how many times do they want to go and do the things that they do really well?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but you also have to do this. Mm-hmm. These things you're not so good at.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I don't want to. I'm not good at it. I'm like, because you haven't done it. Mm-hmm. That's why you're not good at it. You got to go spend some time and actually, you know, try to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a rule in our house growing up. Where before you were allowed to go buy coffee,
mm-hmm.
like go to a coffee stand or Starbucks or whatever, you had to be able to drink a full black cup of coffee. Right? That was the rule in our house.
Was that just curious, did Pastor Nick give your family that rule?
No.
Before you continue the story really quick, I want to share my favorite Pastor Nick quote that he made on a Sunday morning. He says, "You don't like coffee, you like dessert."
So good.
It's so good.
Called everybody out at church. It was
everybody.
Great. But yeah, so the whole idea was behind it was like, hey, this is what coffee is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can dress it up in a whole bunch of different packages, but this is what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's an analogy in there for scripture too. Like, this is what scripture is. We can dress it up in all sorts of different packages. We're talking about different authors right now, and a lot of them do a really good job dressing up scripture in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But we always need to go back to scripture.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. One more that I want to mention is a resource that we use a lot, especially when we're in the Torah series. It's alephbeta.org, specifically Rabbi David Foreman. Now, we've talked about it a number of times, but Rabbi David Foreman is not a Christian.
Mm.
He is a Orthodox Jewish rabbi.
Yes.
He does not believe that Jesus is Messiah. And so you need to know that when you go in. Now, if you've actually read any of his teachings or listened to his teachings, you might be surprised, because often he is teaching and you're like, are you sure you don't believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
Because the way that he talks about God is reflective of who Jesus is.
Yes.
Right? And so what we're not telling you is necessarily get your theology from him, but more to be able to get some fundamental ideas about how Hebrew works from
him. Well, and his knowledge of the Hebrew is incredible.
Incredible, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it when he's teaching, and he's like, yeah, in this thing it's blah, 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 and he rattles off some Hebrew, and he's like, and you'll probably, you heard the words that were earlier mentioned. I was like, totally. Yeah, I definitely heard that. So he's got a number of things. They have a podcast too. But on alephbeta.org they have a lot of videos, and especially around the festivals and like why they celebrate the festivals and how they connect to scripture. That's a really good resource. Mm-hmm. He also has a number of books. He's got three parashah companions. Now, if you don't know what the parashah is, in Jewish synagogues, they read through Torah every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's different portions, and it's the parashah reading is the Torah portion that they read. Yeah. So he wrote a companion piece that goes with the parashah reading for each portion of scripture. And there's one for Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus at this point. And I just finished the Leviticus, and it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. He also has three... maybe four books. I'm trying to think through now. He's got one called The Beast That Crouches at the Door, which dives into Adam and Eve, but more specifically Cain and Abel. And it's just a fascinating read. It's going to probably wreck your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got one called The Queen You Thought You Knew, which centers on the story of Esther. That was a great book. Mm-hmm. I got Tara to read that for when we preached on Purim. And then he's got one called The Exodus You Almost Passed Over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I like about Rabbi David Foreman is because he is a Orthodox Jewish rabbi, their way of teaching is to ask a bunch of questions about the text, mm-hmm. and then spend the next 60 to 80 pages answering those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so his stuff is a lot easier to read because it's based around this conversation and questions about the text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couple other authors that we've mentioned a lot. One is, or that we've referenced a lot, one is Francis Chan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of great writings out there from, I mean, Crazy Love, Forgotten God, Erasing Hell. There's a lot of really good writings that he's put out. One of the things that we've always mentioned about Francis was that there's been times where he's taught one thing in his life, and then he's mm-hmm. come back and said, you know what, I used to teach this, that I found that that's not actually true.
Right.
And so I'm sorry, forgive me. And to have someone who's in that level of authority of public speaking and of teaching the word to say that is huge.
Yeah.
Right? It should be Commons Day. Let's just put it that way. But so we've referenced him a lot.
I think that one of the best things you can take away from Francis Chan is his absolute passion for Jesus and loving people.
Absolutely.
Like, if there is one thing that you want to get from Francis Chan, it's that. Because there are tons of people who disagree with his theological take on X, Y, or Z. Doesn't matter. If you look at the guy, he loves Jesus, mm-hmm. and he's not gonna hold back on his enthusiasm for the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And he, back when he was a pastor in California, he put out a great series, a video series called Basics,
mm-hmm.
And it just goes over through the base some of the fundamentals of Christianity, and so. That's a really good video series. Each video is, I think, 50 minutes long. There's 7 of them. Like, it's pretty short and easy to get through. Another resource I've used a lot is Right Now Media.
Yep.
So,
Right Now Media is great.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody that we've mentioned, they also have YouTube channels. You can mm-hmm. access, like, videos and teachings. Yeah. There's a reason why we started... You know, granted, I did start with Bema, but there's a reason we started with a lot of the biblical content up front. You should be spending the bulk of your time understanding the Bible and mm-hmm. words in the Bible, and yeah. that's where places like Bible Project, Bema, and the Bible itself mm-hmm. come in really handy, is that you actually need to, what is the Bible actually saying?
Yeah.
Because then when you listen to teachers, you're able, remember what I said about meat and bones? You're able to take it and be like, man, that's a really good application of that scripture. And then sometimes they'll say things, and you're like, that's not really what that scripture is talking about, but it is a biblical concept.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where I've sat under pastors, and they've made a statement, and it is a biblical statement, but they used the wrong scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not really what the particular scripture was talking yes. about. And so what I have in that moment is this fantastic 5-letter word. It's called grace.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I understand that God is speaking through them, and as is the case most of my life, God is working in spite of them and in spite of me.
Well,
in the midst of what we're doing.
And isn't that one of the beautiful things about Scripture too?
Yeah.
Like, it's so brilliantly done that there's times where you can be making a very biblical point, use the wrong passage, and then you're like, okay, but it's okay because the point that's being made is very biblical.
Yeah.
And so even though that passage might not be talking exactly about that.
So that is on the intellectual side of things. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about two different sides of things. I want to talk about the meditative side of things. Mm-hmm. And I want to be really careful because I think immediately when I say meditative, people think New Age. And that's not really what I'm talking about.
No.
I'm talking about learning how to be quiet and talk with God. So the contemplative prayer. People who are going to teach you a lot about prayer. So there are a lot of different resources on that. I'm not going to give a specific recommendation because I think there's a lot of people who teach on different aspects of prayer. The biggest thing is learning how to listen and respond to the voice of God.
Yes.
And there are some apps that I do like because there is guided prayer times on the app. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the one off the top of my head, but it's not coming right now. But there are a number of apps where it's like a prayer app where they'll have some like just gentle music playing in the background. You can put on your headphones mm-hmm. and be quiet. And if it's something about like releasing anger, every 3 or 4 minutes they'll say, you know, ask God to bring somebody to mind who you hold a grudge against. And then you just pause and you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives you time to really place that person in the forefront of your head and then walks you through the process of forgiving that person, releasing them, blessing them in the name mm-hmm. of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of like self-care spiritually as well.
Yeah.
Right? I've talked in the past on the podcast, and you have as well, about our church trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Part of getting past your church trauma is learning how to forgive and love people well.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, but what if they don't learn their lesson? It's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you. It's about me.
Yeah.
Are we going to be the kind of people who lay down our life on behalf of those around us?
Mm-hmm.
Last night in Care Group, we had a video when they were talking about, it was a Ray Vanderlyn video where they're walking through the Holy Land and they were talking about this structure that was built for the Crusades. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand exactly how brutal the Crusades were mm-hmm. to Jewish and Muslim people. You can't forget your history. But if we're not going to learn how to lay down our life, so people had taken the message of Jesus and they had started to enforce it at sword point.
Yeah.
Now you might say they would do it at gunpoint. But the message of Jesus was this: he conquered the entire world by laying his life down on a cross.
Yeah.
The Jews and the Romans did not kill Jesus. He's very clear with that. He could have left at any point. Mm-hmm. Jesus laid his life down so that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we would actually have access to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So that we today, as we suffer well, as we live, as we lay our lives down on behalf of other people, we do that so that the kingdom will come into different places.
Yeah.
Our suffering is not in vain.
Yeah.
It's to bring the kingdom of God into the dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not forever. There's this whole eternity of awesomeness.
Yeah.
This life is a blip and a vapor. So I think part of learning how to sit and rid ourselves of anger, rid ourselves of all this, it's a very valuable resource and time for us. It doesn't feel like you're doing much, and that probably means you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a hard practice for me to develop.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have noticed listening to us on the podcast. I like to talk a lot and think a lot mm-hmm. and intellectualize. Learning how to stop and listen and forgive and have compassion.
But it's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
A lot of times in church, we don't focus on that side of things as much.
Yeah.
The stopping, the slowing down, the praying. Coming back to the idea of meditation, mm-hmm. you read through the Psalms are constantly talking about meditating on the Word
mm-hmm.
or meditating in the Lord.
Be still and know.
Be still and know. Mm-hmm. Everything might be falling apart around you, but be still and know.
I lift my eyes to the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. This is the idea of a meditative what was the word you used?
Contemplative.
Contemplative prayer. I was complative if I was that's not a word.
Yeah, that's not a word.
Contemplative prayer. But the idea behind that is very much rooted in Jewish history and culture.
Yeah.
We were talking about people who were dedicated to that.
Yeah.
To the meditation of the word. Not just the, okay, I read it, right? It was meditating on it, knowing it, letting God change who you are inside and out.
There's a book for the intellectual mm-hmm. who'd like us to kind of walk through this. Practicing the Presence. No. Brother Lawrence. Do you remember what his book is called?
Nope.
I think it's called Practicing the Presence. But if you look up Brother Lawrence, you'll find it. It's one that people reference all the time. Mm-hmm. And he was a monk. And his thing about living in the presence.
Mm-hmm.
I probably said the title wrong, and that's okay. You look up the correct title. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be in the show notes when I actually put this in. I'll put the right title in.
Yeah.
But just learning how to, syncing up your life with God is the most important thing you can do. And, yes, your intellectual, studying the Bible is going to help you know God, but you actually have to spend time with God. It's the mm-hmm. relationship portion, which brings my last piece in. You also, for resources and in learning how to develop spiritually, intellectually, discipleship-wise, you need to know how to worship.
Yes.
I thought it was really interesting. One of our pastors here made a statement. He says, why do we worship mm-hmm. last Sunday morning? And people had a lot of different reasons. But the biggest thing is that when we worship, we get caught up into joining the voices of 1,000 generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This whole idea from the book of Revelation that they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and will be ever be, mm-hmm. right? And we're joining not only the people who worshipped in the past, the people who worship present, but the people who worship that are not yet a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is powerful when you do it as a family, a church family and a local family. I think I shared the story once about that family that lost their daughter
yeah.
and they couldn't sing. But on that day, everybody sang for them,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we sing on behalf of those that can't sing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's joining our hearts and our minds, understanding and lifting up that God is good and trusting in his goodness in the midst of our chaos.
Yeah.
And so no Christian resource is really complete without this idea of worship.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
And worship, the other thing, is a lot of times, there's times where we don't want to.
Correct.
Right? There's times where we don't want to, but we show up anyways.
Yeah.
And we worship.
I have this thing. I don't really like to raise my arms in worship. Mm-hmm. Right? But I know that every time I do, God meets me as my arms arise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you're not okay with me being vulnerable, if you're not okay with me being vulnerable, pause the podcast right now.
Just fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, fast forward a little bit, like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I get uncomfortable raising my hands because of my weight. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like it exposes, like, you know, people being able to see like my belly or whatever. And so when a lot of times when I'm like, okay, well, if I'm raising my hands, I'm constantly thinking about that. I was like, but I do want to raise my hands because I want to lift my hands up to God.
Yeah.
Right. And I had to silence that part of my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is, as soon as my hands are in the air, you know what I'm not thinking about?
All that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm just lifted up to God. Yep. Over and over again. And more than that is that act, that prophetic act is what I'm going to call it, where I'm giving up everything. God meets me in the act.
Yeah.
I'm glad that really, you yawning at me.
No, the yawning was the being up sick.
Yeah. With sick kids.
With sick kids.
So this has been a little bit of a different episode. But you know, I think it's a good one for us. We haven't really talked about our resources a lot. Now there's tons of books we didn't mention. We didn't talk about Kenneth Bailey or
John Ortberg or
Dallas Willard. Like there's so many authors and different people that you can collect pieces from. Lois Trierberg. Wow, it's a TVER on her last name. So mm-hmm. If Lois, if you're listening, I'm sorry for saying your name that way. Cause she definitely listens to our podcast. You are welcome to come on and give us correct pronunciation, but there's a lot of, you know, even Ray Vanderlyn, who mentioned we were watching some of his videos, Brad Gray, who does a wonderful job at walkingthetext.com. We want to lift up all these people and there might be some pieces, like I said, don't try everything, but there's going to be some pieces where you might connect. Mm-hmm. And as we went through all of these pieces, like, God probably spoke to you on one of those that he'd like you to start today.
Yeah. And my encouragement and challenge would be just take these resources at your own pace, too.
Correct.
So if you are like, hey, I'm going to start listening to Baymont Podcast, right, just take it at your own pace. There's a lot in there, mm-hmm. right? If you need to go, there's no shame in needing to go back and re-listen to it, mm-hmm. slow the speed down so you can understand a little better. Whatever works for you.
And there's no special accomplishment for listening to it quickly, mm-mm. unless that's just the part that connects with you. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing in all reading, listening, worship, contemplative, everything, is what is going to draw you closer to God. And what's going to work for you is not going to work for everybody, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're different mm-hmm. people, and God wants to speak to us different ways.
Yes.
All right, so we will be back next week mm-hmm. with our normally scheduled episode, and we're going to be talking about tongues. And mm-hmm. so some of you have been waiting for that episode to decide if you want to call us heretics or stop listening. That's going to be the one.
Oh, I thought we were talking about cow tongues, dog tongues, whale tongues.
Do whales have tongues? I mean, I'm assuming.
I don't know, actually.
Marine biologist that listens, please let us know. Do whales have tongues? My suspicion is no.
Yeah, probably not.
I imagine they have
orcas
some sort of...
Orcas do.
Yeah, well... Orcas are jerks. So, all right. Until next week, we'll talk to you later.
So, Randy, that orcas are jerks. There's been actually more.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope you enjoyed this engaging conversation and gained valuable insights into the powerful message of love within the Bible.
We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Connect with us by sending us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. We greatly appreciate your feedback and ideas for future episodes.
Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Don't forget to hit that follow button to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join our growing community.
Thank you for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in the context of today's world.